All right. All right. So now we turn it over to you to, in a sense, write this workshop with us. So if you could raise your hand, and Daniel will give you the mic.
Hi, Galexis. You look so pretty today. Whatever androgynous group you are. Mm-hmm. You feel pretty. Yes, you are. Gorgeous. My question involves will and willpower with the desire and motivation and the other aspects we're talking about. So if someone's will becomes a little less sharp than it could be, how does will interact with motivation, please?
All right. Very good question. Most of the time, when people think of the term will, they think in terms of a will that, in a sense, is forced into the channels of acceptability determined by the consensus. In other words, you know, get yourself together. You know, you've got to have will. You've got to use your willpower. You've got to, you know, make it happen. And in a sense, that works against natural desire, motivation, and passion. The reason it does that is because the part of you that you must separate out to beat up the rest of you to make yourself do something you don't want to do, right? That slave driver in there, for some of you, it's a guilt trip, so it might be your internalized negative parent figure. So whatever it takes in there to force you, you use your will, and essentially, if you were aware of it, you could be aware of the choice that you make. Okay, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go and do this that I have to do. Okay. And so you motivate yourself by the whip. All right? That's will power. Now, you have a sense of will that is true to you. It's very hard to pinpoint it because it doesn't show up in this type of forced situation. The will within you that is natural to you comes with a motivation that is aligned with your passion. It has to have a dream, it has to have a vision, and then your real will engage. Now, the real will is generally not supported in your culture. You know, people who follow their real will are, in a sense, disturbingly abnormal to your consensus reality. They don't understand what motivates people. Now, we're not talking about people who are, quote-unquote, willful. Generally, people who are willful are rebellious, reactive, and very demanding. But they're not coming from a spiritually aligned place. They're coming from a reactionary place. So most consensus philosophy understands this whole thing about, you know, that principle of science. With every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we would suggest that only seems to function on the physical plane. It may not function on other planes, because for every action might not be a reaction, but it can be also just a sense of building a greatness. And it just, that could be called a reaction. But in your consensus world, reaction generally tends to be against. And if you delineate it or define it as such, then you tend to think of will as being something that has to do with fighting. It has to do with standing up to and putting on bravado or putting on armoring, psychic armoring, emotional armoring, or physical armoring, and that kind of thing. So will, it is a masculine energy. It is a dynamic. If you tune into your own will, you'll find that there have been times in your life when you're doing something, engaged in something that is absolutely joyous for who you are as a soul, as a spirit, where you are uplifted by your spiritual light. You have desire, you have motivation, and from a spiritual place, as you activate and engage, you will find that will. You can't really define it and put a peg on it, but it does translate a lot of the motivation urge into physical action. It is there at the point where the tire hits the road. It's there where you activate physically what you have desire for and that you're motivated for. And that true will comes from your real spiritual self. That's part of what we're doing today. We're wanting to align you with your true desire, true motivation, and hopefully your true passion as well. And in that, you'll find, in that motivation, you'll find your true will. It'll be a different experience. And those of you who have experienced true will recognize that it has a certain just effortless quality, as opposed to will power or forced will, which requires that you work against yourself, that you have two forces within you, one which doesn't want to do something and one which says you've got to do something, and the one that says you've got to do something dominates the part that says I don't want to do it. All right? So you lose a lot of energy in that conflict, and you've learned, because it's painful, conflicts are painful, to ignore it, to deny the conflict, not even see it anymore. That as soon as your internalized parent or the slave driver says, okay, you got to do this now, you say, okay, and you've shoved your own will, you've shoved your own desire motivation underneath the, you know, underneath your conscious awareness so well that you don't even see that conflict. It's just that there's a part of you that senses futility and powerlessness and says, oh, okay, got to do it. All right, and I'll get out of the way. And you don't even know how much energy it takes to engage that will. It takes a lot of energy. Those of you who have difficulty with it, who cannot handle a lot of stress or pressure or the demand of fulfilling consensus, duties, and obligations, will often have fatigue. Fatigue is a natural result of a tremendous loss of energy, because your true will, your true desire, your motivation and passion are not being valued. You're not in the present. You're fighting in an internal conflict. So you drain energy out. So that's why the will has to come in as a willpower, because it's to force you, to push you, to drive you, to make you. You see, by it's from fear, oh gosh, if I don't do it, what will happen to me? Or from anger and saying, damn it, I've got to do it, but I have to do it. This is my duty. I have got to do it. And by forcing yourself, and you lose tremendous energy. And so we would suggest that very often the most creative people, most spiritually sensitive people, tend to suffer a lot of fatigue because of this conflict. And it tears them up inside. It's a conflict, a tear, a rip inside that always keeps showing up. It's a pain that must be ignored. It is a pain to not follow your own desire and motivation. It was a huge compromise, a sacrifice, you might say. A trauma, actually, for you to be forced, in a sense, into the flow of the consensus. Does that answer your question?
Thoroughly.
All right. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you.
All right. Who else?
The first one with the hand, with the pen in the hand, yes. You, red, yes. Right.
You in the red.
In the red hair. My question is somewhat related, and it just came to me, is how does discipline fit in with...
All right. With discipline is also another one of those words that's badly delineated or defined, right? The consensus defines discipline as a focused form of willpower. You must make yourself study and do the routines, Because it's, the discipline is that you must control yourself. You must manage your own energies. In other words, you must shut down a lot of your own wildness. You must be acculturized. You must be socialized. You must be adaptable and useful to society. You must be acceptable. So discipline yourself. And also to learn a skill. This skill, it depends on how much love you have of that that you are learning the skill about. You see, if you are learning about your spiritual journey and it's an exciting experience, you will discipline yourself. You will focus your actions in a progression or in a manner in which you can develop your skill, your capacities, your aptitudes, develop your strengths, express your talents. That takes discipline. If you are loving what you're doing, does discipline feel like discipline?
No.
It feels like, oh, this feels so good. I want to do it. I really desire to do it. I got to do it. I'm motivated to do it. This is for me. Oh, this feels so good when I do it. Do you have any problem with discipline? Not at all. You will discipline yourself. You will spend many hours focusing and learning details of this and that and the other and so on. It's fascinating to you. All right. But discipline is the concept that's given you. And also it's twisted and distorted into the spiritual traditions and religious traditions, is that you need discipline for self-control, which means suppress all your natural urges, right? Become one with the consensus. That's a good girl, good boy. You will get rewarded from the consensus. You will be useful to society. You'll stay out of trouble. People will not judge you and criticize you so much. You might be able to succeed. You may not be shamed by anyone or ridiculed by anyone. You'll be doing the right thing. All those kinds of seductive, callings of the consensus reality. All right. So that calls you to do the discipline. And every time you do consensus discipline, every time you activate the discipline and initiate it, every single day, if you have to practice something, when you go to school and so on, you have to make yourself do it. That conflict is there. That's why the more discipline that is required for most people, the more exhausting it is. It's tiring. If you discipline yourself, and it's something that you make yourself do because, well, if I study really hard and I take this test, I will be able to ask for more money at work. I will have more initials behind my name, and I'll be able to be more successful in this job. Does that discipline appeal to anyone? Not really. It's a forced thing, and it's exhausting. It's tiring. So many people, because of the discipline that keeps them and the motivation and the will that they have to make it go, by the time they have done all that compromising all day long, at the end of their work day, they're exhausted. And they don't have any time to do anything that's joyous for them. Because when you do that which follows your own desire and motivation, you fuel yourself. You are energized. Think about it. If there's something you want to do, really want to do, oh yeah, I really, really want to do, if somehow you'll find the energy to do it. Isn't that amazing? It's almost miraculous. You have people who are absolutely in deep chronic fatigue, but if they get to do something they really, really want to do, not something they have to do, but they really want to do, they'll get up and they'll, somehow or another, they'll do it. It's like people who want to go to a workshop. And if they really want to go to that workshop or really want to take that class, somehow or another, they'll come up with the money for it. Even if somehow or another, they virtually go broke the rest of the time. Because it's part of where they know they want to be. They know they want to do it. And it doesn't have that same conflict within. And the same goes with with any kind of activity. And if you do creative activity, you may find yourself just filled with energy as you do it. Because when you do something that you love, you gain energy from it. You infuse yourself with energy from it. Why? Because your energy is flowing. The true energies in you are flowing. You are flowing. You don't have blocks. Doing what the consensus wants you to do, oh, there are loads of blocks there. Tremendous blocks there. Because of the resistances. Those create blocks. And they can tire you out. They drain you. All right? Does that answer your question?
Sort of.
All right. So what's the rest of it?
The rest of it is that I do feel charged and excited by meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I need discipline to get up early in the morning to do it. And feel like the reason I don't get it together is because I don't have the discipline. I'll call you.
All right. Well, you see, here's where you've done something where you've taken a consensus approach to something you love to do. And what it's going to do is it's going to sour that which you love. It's going to distort what you love. It's going to drain the beauty and the exhilaration and the energy out of what you love. Because you first have put a kind of a gauntlet here. You put first a kind of condition on getting to what you love to do. And the condition is a consensus-imposed condition. It is a belief that getting up early to do meditation is better than doing meditation at other times of day. And also there's the threat. If you don't get up early enough to do your meditation, then you're going to get involved in all your other activities and you'll never get to it. All right? So this requires a certain different reframe. Because what you're encountering as soon as you wake up in the morning, you have to put that alarm on, or however you wake up early, as soon as you wake up, you have to motivate yourself to do something you don't want to do, i.e. get out of bed. All right? And so think about it. What if you, when you wake up, you can motivate yourself by love, by desire and motivation that is yours, rather than by the consensus thing is that this makes you, you know, develop good on a spiritual basis. This, you can develop, you know, discipline. This is going to make it be what? Oh, it's going to make it better. It's going to make it more important. You're going to do it the right way. You see what we're saying? So you want to get all of that off of it so that the discipline becomes natural. You may find that you are not enough of an early morning type that if you take all that discipline, you finally sit down to meditate, and it takes you a while before you begin to feel the joy and the energy of it. It kind of drains you out of it. It takes something away from it. Because by the time you're done with your meditation, the drain of energy that you got from the discipline and the infusion of energy you got from the meditation leaves you about even. And so what if you're able to discipline yourself by true discipline, by your own desire? You'll find out you may get up at different times in the morning. You might meditate for a shorter period or a longer period, depending on what you feel like. You may find yourself sticking a meditation in the middle of your day, in your lunch break or lunchtime. You may find yourself slipping in a meditation at night before you go to bed. And it fits into your day in an effortless flow. And it infuses you with energy. Then there might be a part of you that doesn't like to meditate. Because you have to sit in a certain position, and if you sit still and you can't move and ba-da-da-da-da. Right? Then we would suggest be aware of that too. Be aware of the conflict that is there. It may not be much. But make sure that you're aware of any conflicts that do exist so that your meditation is joyous and it has a flow to it. It doesn't require you bringing in your slave driver or the internal parent self or the social ego to approve or disapprove of the way you're doing it. It allows you to experience meditation on your own terms as an adventure and as an exploration, because you don't need to do meditation the same way anyone else does. Your meditation may end up very different. There are some people who meditate all day long as they do things. They're in meditation. They don't sit down and go quiet and get rid of all the thoughts. Now I must go to the silence within. There are people who can stay present during the day. Presence, of course, required for meditation, indeed. But they can stay present during the day, and they can be in touch with their divine nature and infuse it through everything that they do during their day, so that their whole life becomes a walking, moving meditation. Some people find that more appropriate. Other people like to have that particular treasured and special space for themselves, that they can get away from all of the things that they think about, away from the mind stuff and all the engagements and interactions with other people. Not in a sense of, oh gosh, I'm so tired of that, that's so, yeah. But because they're going to something beautiful. They're going to go and nurture their soul. And so they're going to find the time to do that. It's important. It's a priority. And they'll feel the call. And they say, okay, I've got to wrap this up because I've got to go meditate now. It doesn't matter what they're doing. I've got to wrap this up now. I've got to meditate. Thank you. It was good talking with you. Goodbye. And what's the social protocol? Oh, I can't hang up the phone now. I can't stop doing this. I've got to continue. I've got to finish this. I've got to do it right. And then I deserve my own time. No. That's all consensus BS, okay? So recognize you want to keep your energies clean, your motivation and desire clean and pure all the way through whatever process that you do. Does that answer the rest of it?
Yes, very well, thank you.
All right, and thank you for that question. Very good question. All right, who's next?
Hi, Alexis, it's Rona.
Hello.
I'm experiencing an enormous amount of rage and frustration and all the galaxy of things that go with that. I feel that I know how to do the moving with energy thing. I know how to work with energy. I know my art has come through that, and what I've been experiencing is I feel like a bad seed or a bad person or, you know, a rebel or heretic or something. And I also experience the fact that for a very long time, I cannot seem to manifest, do the completion part of manifestation. I get really, really close, and then I blow it. And I know you've mentioned this about 50,000 million times. But and I have 10 series of CDs and listen to you all the time. However, this particular bit is, I think, the thing that's really, really eating at me. I'm ready to manifest. I'm sick and tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm sick and tired of even being in, even, you know, I think I've gotten through my little whatever, you know, this past week really, really well. I'm very happy with my progress, and I've moved through it and doing all this stuff. It's just, I now feel no desire. My desire, the only thing that I could feel last night when I was swimming was I got this really big, like, kind of Moulin Rouge moment where, oh, yes, I just want to be loved and be loved in return. And that was seemed very actually true for me. And mm-hmm. It's just, I thought, like, well, what does that mean? Anyway, this is
all right.
You know, going around in circles here, but I think you got it, right?
Yeah. That's a good, juicy question, right? We like juicy questions. Because then we can give juicy answers, right? And the things that we've already talked about in the answers that we've given to the questions already not just apply to those people, if you've noticed. They apply to all of you. And this one happens to apply to all of you as well. Right? And to Dhirona specifically, for she's the one who's asking it for herself and for all of you. The first thing that we would like to address, number one, and by the way, we did talk about this in the Wednesday nights in our manifestation. We went specifically through these, just this past one. When you have a desire, that desire comes for something that is more than you, for a reality or state of being that is higher, that is grander than what you have at the moment. For it to manifest, because it is something greater than where you are right now, for it to manifest, you have to expand who you are to get up to the level. It's like a boomerang, send a boomerang out, it's going to come back to you. And when it comes back to you, it's going to come back to you at the higher level of that manifestation that you are looking for, that higher level of reality. So you, the self that you are, your perception of yourself, your self-image, must rise to the appropriate place to receive it when it returns. Right? This is a secret of manifestation. And as we said before, what you're looking for is the state of being and the forms that reflects that, not the forms that you hope will bring the states of being. All right? So that state of being that you want is one in which you do not look unkindly upon yourself, which where you may think, well, there's something wrong with me, or I'm just stupid, or whatever it is. In order for you to have a reality in which you are enjoying yourself and loving yourself, you want to get into that state of enjoying yourself and loving yourself first, so that reality can come back to you. Otherwise, the reality will wait until you get to that level at which you can receive it, which is why some people put out all sorts of energies to create, and they fizzle before they get there, before they fulfill themselves. And then down the line, all of a sudden, the opportunity to do something that you wanted to do 2 years ago shows up. You scratch your head. Well, why didn't that come through 2 years ago when I was wanting it? It was because your self-image, your perception of yourself, your ownership of your light being nature had just now, 2 years later, grown to the level of receiving it. Right. So anything that you wish, you're wishing for something that your higher self-image must be radiating, you must be holding in order for it to manifest. So what the consensus teaches you is that if it doesn't manifest, if it falls apart, there's something wrong with you. There's that failure. There's that judgment again. And you can shame yourself. You can see yourself as inadequate, it's stupid, incapable, a real loser. You can go really down into the heavy, 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 dark, dark stuff. You can feel all the emptiness, the loneliness, the pain, the separation, the powerlessness, the futility. And down in there you get the anger and the rage. And what causes all of that is that you have been taught by the consensus to split yourself into two. And there's that conflict. The conflict comes again with your failure when you don't make it, as we talked about that earlier today, that there is a judgment of you. You failed. You didn't make the forms. You didn't create the concretization. You didn't create the objects of your desire. So there's something wrong with you. Right? And you have to go back to the drawing board. And we say go forward to the drawing board, perhaps, to redraw a new you who is capable of handling that. And so your reality, working precisely with you, will continue to bring you these types of circumstances until you can love yourself up to the level and sustain a caring and value and love of yourself and appreciation of yourself, and not look outside of yourself for that. Because you see, if you're looking for manifestation and in there is hidden a need to be approved of, a need to be safe and secure, a need to belong, which is a child or adolescent need, you'll sabotage it. But if in there is that need for beauty, for oneness, for spirit, the higher needs, and the desire to love, touch, heal, to create with passion and to learn, grow, and expand, if you can hold the higher resonance, not only will you move forward and move into and through a manifestation, into physical plane manifestation, but if that manifestation is not that you are dreaming of, that the forms are not appropriate to the state of being or the essence that you're looking for, you will scrap that manifestation, that concretization, and you'll get other forms that will come in that will be more correct. But you have to lift your self-image so that you're at the level to receive it. And then you have to hold it, that level of self there. So sometimes people get the success and then it falls apart as soon as they get it. Because then they begin to doubt themselves and worry about themselves. Am I doing okay? And did I do it good enough? And da-da-da, and this and that and the other. Or get into emotional conflicts with the people that you are with and involved with and so on and so on. And if you get into any self-denigrating or self-reducing place, you've lost connection with your own true desire, motivation, and passion. You've just lost connection with it because you're engaged in a conflict that has been established by the consensus, which is to force you into the consensus to be an obedient machine in the consensus. So you become a rebel. You fight. But you have split yourself into two. There's the consensus part of you, which comes through your internal parent to guilt trip you or to freak you out about it, or your slave driver to push and drive and manipulate. Okay? So you use these external, seemingly external devices. They come from the consensus. But you do it within yourself by splitting yourself. And the only way you can do that is by seeing yourself as something that someone who needs tremendous improvement. Right? You don't. Dear ones, you do not need any improvement. You may want to improve your skills. But you, who you are, doesn't need improvement. You just need to love and honor and respect and value what you are and who you are right there and be in the now. So we would recommend that you want to resolve this conflict, resolve the split. That's part of what we're going to be doing later in the day. But we're just going to say this about it right now. Is that when you have satisfied your child and your adolescent needs, all the lower needs, energetically, emotionally, then you can begin to move towards the higher needs. But the part of you that evaluates you, that assesses who you are, that says, here is who I am, that inner voice within you that says, here is who I am, we call that the inner assessor. We call assessor not as a, it's not a judge, it's not a critic, it's not a parent, it's not a slave driver, it's an assessor. And by your very nature as a divine being, your assessor, in a sense, naturally would be the divine part of yourself assessing you, reminding you, you're a beautiful light being, you're empowered, take your power back here. You know, or let it, or let that concretization, let that object go because it doesn't reflect the great, you know, your own beautiful light, your real true desire and motivation, and that kind of thing. It can help you. It can help you. But your assessor, you've substituted by the internal parent or the critic or the judge or the slave driver or whatever. To whip you into shape, to improve you, to make you better, and to tell you where you went wrong. That's, if you notice in the consensus, much teaching is done by pointing out not what you did right, but where you messed up and where you need to improve yourself and better yourself. And how do you feel when that's pointed out? You feel small, miserable, inadequate, stupid, slow, weak, whatever the nasties are that you consider. Some people, the worst thing is to be weak. For another person, the worst thing is to be kind of stupid and not on top of everything mentally and da-da-da with scintillating intellect. The standards you hold for yourself are often set there by the consensus, not by your soul, not by your higher self, not by your divine nature, not by the God, Goddess, all that is. And then you judge yourself by your standards and try to improve yourself. So when you do that, you get stuck in the conflict and you lose the connection to your true flow, which you might have actually activated before. That's why all of a sudden things start to happen and magic is happening, synchronicities are happening. That's when you know you're in the flow. But it also is the sign that you must expand your self-image. You must lift who you are so that you can continue the flow. You must stay in your desire motivation and not get sidetracked by the conflicts that come from the consensus, from the judgments. You can't sidetrack there. That's where most people get snagged up and they get embroiled in the conflict. And in the conflict, when you have the internal parent or the slave driver or the consensus speaking, then there's a part of you that is being spoken to that you separate out, and this side of you gets absolutely shamed or gets, like in your case, gets really pissy, angry, and filled with rage. And it's the appropriate response, dear ones, because that part of you who's being beaten down by the consensus part who's drilling on top of you and pushing down on you is feeling powerless and really angry about feeling powerless. Where are you identifying there in your powerlessness? You're identifying with child, perhaps, or rebellious adolescent. And the rebellious adolescent, well, I'll show you. I'll do it my way, damn it. Get off my case. But the child will go, poor me, I can't ever get it done. It can't ever happen for me. I feel so insecure. I'm such a schmuck. I'm so inadequate. I'm just not worth anything. Where do you go? What's the temptation? Because consensus reality flow exists on people conforming. And if you stay in child like that and react like that, you can be manipulated great by the internalized consensus within you, whose job is to fix you up and make you belong. Then you'll be successful and everybody will approve of you and think you're fabulous. And the adolescent, finally I'll be justified. I'll be right. Finally I'll be right. Consensus has snagged you. You don't look for what's right. You look for what's true for you. As soon as you start looking at what's right, there's a reflection, what's wrong. As soon as you look for what's good, there's a reflection, what's bad. Stay out of that stuff. That's called duality. It traps you in the illusion. And then you have to push and drive yourself to manifest the forms that you desire. As soon as you push yourself and drive yourself, you've lost connection to your own desire and motivation and to your own passion, which is what was flowing the energy in the first place. So all the energy stops. Until you resolve the conflict, all the energy is going to stop. This pattern is going to cease when you stop the conflict and love yourself and value and prioritize yourself and say, okay, so this is seeming to fall apart. Okay, let me just expand my energy now. Where do I want to be more? What does it feel like to have a greater expansion? I'm going to really pump up my power, my energy, my choice. I'm going to move in more energy through, because if I do that, I know that if this doesn't manifest, something on the better frequency will manifest for me in physical form. The forms follow the energies. So if you get the energies right, the manifestation has to happen. But you don't have the energies right if, when something seems not to work, you fall back on the old conflict of beating yourself up or wondering what's wrong with you. As soon as you end that pattern, you'll find that manifestation can follow through. And also, it may follow through in ways you don't expect, but it'll be beautiful. It'll be in alignment with you. And when you have manifestations in alignment with you, there's an incredible harmony, incredible flow. And for you, you have a conflict specific to your culture called the struggling artist conflict. All right. The struggling artist conflict is essentially, and you, how many struggling artists do you know? Is essentially a conflict between your own desire, motivation, will, passion, and the consensus. There are some people who are willing to put it out there, who are willing to stretch, to create, to get close to the divine. And then as soon as they want to share it, they get stuck into consensus issues around value and money and approval and stuff like that. Gets lost. Because initially the art that you do, dear one, you do because it's you. You've got to do it. It's something that comes out of you. It's natural to you. It's effortless for you when you do it, in a sense. It is a part of the expression of your divine. So you want to make sure that your interfaces with the consensus reality, that you stay in your divine. You keep that frequency up. And guess what happens? Rather than the consensus rejecting you, they'll be attracted to your resonance, to your light, to your frequency. Who would you rather be around? A person who hates themselves or a person who loves themselves? Without it being an egotistical thing, but a person who really genuinely appreciates and cares for who they are and has the dignity of their presence and radiates their light and actually can express some of their divine. Wouldn't you rather be around that person? It's not a judgment against the person who's not there. It's that you're attracted by the light. And all that the consensus says, you've got to do this rule, that rule, the other rule, the consensus is attracted by your light. You won't find success as spiritual beings until you align to you, to your desire, your motivation, to your truth of who you are, and continuously expand and grow and create and love. It's not about finding that approval and that love out there, or that success out there, but to hold the resonance of it in here, inside yourself, in the present. It takes away a lot of the anxiety. It takes away the fear. It takes away the powerlessness and hopelessness, because you're always in choice. And then you don't have to go through all the rage and work your way slowly out the other end. Because once you get engaged with the consensus, it's damaging, and you're stressed, and you're exhausted. And you've lost your way. And then you have to pull yourself back to your own divine flow. Thank you, dear one. All right, one more.
Galexis, before we start, let me thank you so much for being such a wonderful friend and support system for me. I just love you so very much, and I just
thank you, dear one.
Want you to know that from the bottom of my heart. For the last 5 months, things have improved pretty dramatically for me, and financially, which was where there was a very large stress. And working with you and some other unseen friends, I've turned the tide, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And I touched on a little something with you the other day. on a Wednesday night about I'm having some issues with friends right now, and you mentioned some judgment, and what I realized was that I was quite angry with several of them because I was kind of, the friendship was kind of based on me doing what they wanted, when they wanted, and how they wanted, and I guess I kind of got tired of it. So there's been a little bit of the parting of the ways temporarily. And I'm not sure if I'm just outgrowing them or what. Maybe you can just give me a little bit of a hit on how you see things.
All right. Well, you know, as you align to who you are, you're no longer willing to do the dance for approval. And that's, in essence, what happened. Mm-hmm. And their approval before had been absolutely vital and necessary for your sense of self. So, yes, you can outgrow people. This is not a judgment of them, actually, unless you start to judge them from a high position looking down. Well, now I've outgrown you. You know, I've gone beyond you. That's a consensus way of ending a relationship. Okay? It's like, let's create some separation. Let's create some judgment in here. But, of course, as soon as you judge anybody, you're back in the consensus conflict. Just where the consensus, in a sense, if it had a consciousness of its own, unique like an individual, would want you. It wants you to be in conflict because as long as it's fighting, you and it are fighting, it's got all your attention and all your energy. It can feed on you. As soon as you hold your own resonance, it no longer can feed on you. You'll find in your spiritual development that when you make huge strides in development of seeing who you are and ownership of your divine nature, your relationships will change. And it's extremely important as you do this to refrain from trying to improve anyone else. Try to bring them along with you. Try to get them to go do the same work that you're doing. Okay, that's not your job. It's not your job to make everybody, shape everybody else up so that they can be your friend now that you've grown. But to love people exactly where they are at, with no judgment, that's just where they're at. And you smile sweetly at them and say, I hear you. Can you do that? Only if you are in your own desire and motivation and valuing yourself can you. Only if you're not just frozen with fear over losing them and their approval. In the process of change that you have engaged into as spiritual beings on a spiritual path, all that you can expect, really, as a consistency is change. And at any time in your life, you are always in some kind of self-initiated change because of your desire to have something better than what you have right now and your motivation to go about bringing that into reality, a dream for yourself, a freedom of love, of safety, of power. And while you're on your spiritual path, you're going to see that some of your old friends are going to go by the wayside. Don't analyze this. Because if you do, it's easy to fall into the judgment trap. And if you say, I've outgrown them, it's easy to fall into the ego trap. But realize that you're on a journey, and there are going to be some people on part of that journey with you who are going to be your teachers. They're going to teach you through pain and suffering or through joy and love, whatever you're able to accept, depending on how you see yourself. But very often, they are not going to be with you in your whole journey. The whole concept of having someone in your whole journey with you, to be with you every step of the way, from birth to death. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to you know, there's my parents, and then when I get leave my parents, I'm going to get married, and then it's going to be my mate, and then we're going to be together forever, and it's going to be beautiful, it's wonderful, and perfect. And someday you're going to outgrow that and realize you don't really belong here on the planet. You're just visiting. This is your laboratory. Right? It's a creative laboratory. And if you're looking for that type of safety and security, of having someone always there, ready to hold your hand in any moment, then you sometimes can push away the people who will be there for a few years here, a few years there, and so on, as you grow. You'll outgrow people, but you'll hold yourself back so that you can stay with them. We've seen this in a lot of marriages. One person is on a spiritual path, the other is not. The one on the spiritual path then begins to see more of their divinity, and they stand up to the other one. And it can be quite devastating to a relationship. There's ways to deal with it, even so. We'd say don't fight, don't judge. Recognize they're where they're at, love them at that level. But you may find life circumstance will take you onward. And you'll find someone else who's more in alignment with where you are in your life. It can be that way. So you'll find new people, and you'll be letting go of some old people. And I'll just go on and on. And there'll be some friends that maybe you will have your whole life, from that you met in high school and you're still buddies. But you'll notice, for the most part, how your lives have diverged, and you just get together and reminisce about old times and just laugh and so on. And it doesn't do the same thing for you it used to. But you still love them. You don't just kind of discard them and say, you know, I've outgrown you now. And if somebody's angry at you and not treating you nicely, and you're starting to go beyond, that's because they're afraid. They're afraid they're losing that comfortable routine where they could expect you to be the person that they thought you were. That they could, their projections on who you are could remain in place, and everything could be all safe, secure, and tidy. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen if you're in that position either, and you're wanting someone to remain being the person they are. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work if you're with someone and you're saying, you know, this person is not up to my level. I want them to improve. I want them to change. Don't focus on anyone else's change. Focus on your change of attitude, to be more in the present, not to see, okay, what is this person going to do for me in the future? They've got to provide something for me. Isn't that child? They've got to approve of me. There's adolescent need. That's got to go. If you're going to step into your true desire, motivation, and passion, and live the life of the reality master that you are, it's not going to work unless you do that. Unless you let go of the judgments and the conflicts. It's not your job to fix people, or it's not your job to tell them what's wrong with them. Nor is it your job to tell you what's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you or them. Everyone's on the same path ultimately. Everyone will go home. Everyone will return to the divine oneness. They're just not on the same track you are. And they may be on the same track with you, but if you put a lot of attention on fixing them, or paying attention on what they are saying to you and how they're reacting to you, you're falling for an old conflict. So you want to laugh about it. You want to feel the freedom of being yourself under all situations with all people at all times. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go around telling them exactly every thought you have and all your processes. No, that's your own private business. But you radiate your love. And you just continue. And you just smile and you laugh and you love them. Don't judge them. Because if you judge them, you engage a battle. If you don't judge them, there's no place for their judgments, their barbs, their control to go. They can't control you. You smile at them and love them. Can they control you? No. Now, we're talking about an attitude, right? You can do it physically if you like, but it's basically an attitude. And if they ask you to do something, we're talking specifically for you now, dear one, they want you to do something, they expect you or demand that you behave in a certain way and do whatever you think they want you to do, because some of this is your assumption of what that you think they want you to do, and it's a part of the miscommunication. And when you feel that pressure, learn how to bring it up into the conversation. Say, are you expecting me to do blah, blah, blah? What is it you want me to do here? How do you see my participation here? What is it that makes you so angry? What's upsetting you? And to bring it up, to do it without judgment, is quite a challenge. The way you've been trained. The way you've been trained is to draw your lines in the sand and engage in battle across the line, right? Here's my line. Don't you dare step over it. But instead, what you do is say, okay, where are you really at? And how do you really see this? And what is it that you really expect of me here? See what they say. See how they respond. They may be at a total loss for words. Or something that may come out may totally surprise you. You may not have realized that what they were feeling or what they were thinking, that you had made an assumption. It's a beautiful teacher for you to be able to talk to some of these people. Don't just walk away from them. What a fabulous opportunity to learn with love how to engage with people who are said busy putting up lines in the sand, perhaps, or perhaps not. That make sense to you, dear one?
Yes, thank you so very much.
All right. Because you're going to be experiencing in your life so many new people are going to come into your life. It's not like, you know, you've got all your friends now and you're never going to have any more. Or that you can't make new friends that can feel like, absolutely like you've spent lifetimes together, that you feel so connected to. That's still there. That could still be available. And who knows how many people are there waiting to connect with you, to love you, and for you to love them. You have no idea. But you want to hold that light. You want to keep the love and keep out that judgment and keep away from the power tripping. All right? You don't want to get into any kind of power things where people have power or control over you or you try to control their behavior. Stay out of that. That's consensus reality engagement. As soon as you're there, where's your desire? Your own natural state of being. Where is your person in the now who knows that you're divine? Lost. Gone. You can always get it back in an instant. By acknowledging who you are, by going choice, without judgment of you or others, you can always step back into your desire. You can be clear about your desire. As we suggested at the previous break, for you to look at what your desires really were and what forms you were seeing that were important to you and why. So we're going to take another break now, and it's just a shorter break. And after this break, we would suggest that we're going to do a meditation in which we're going to take that information. So if you haven't done that, we suggest do that. during this break, because we're going to do some resetting, realigning of your desire and your motivation, all right? Getting you on your flow track, in your divine flow, all right? And then there'll be more adventures later in the day. So we will speak with you in what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minutes and no more, all right? All right. Farewell.